this photo. This is, of course, Catherine, the Princess of Wales.
That message intended to show that all is well has backfired.
Where is Kate Middleton?
You see Diane Abbott on the TV and you're just like, I hate. You just want to hate all black women.
I want my country back. I've had to do a lot of soul searching on my political journey.
Two women arrested after taking a dead man's body through a bank drive-thru to steal hundreds of dollars.
All right, you sexy mother hubbards. Ladies and gents, welcome to another dose of dystopia, another helping of wholesome hectoring and heckling. It's a time where no one can trust anyone or anything anymore. You can't trust your own eyes these days when you see weird photoshopped family photos of occasions that never even took place. Or indeed, you being whisked away in your car, turning away. Or indeed, where you or perhaps a body double or your sister is conveniently in the dark spot of the car wearing sunglasses. You can't trust your eyes. You also can't trust your ears any longer when you hear about defections from people. People who used to support Jeremy Corbyn over here on the left of the modern Labour Party, but who now have somehow found sufficient overlap between Jeremy Corbyn's Labour and sensibilities shared by those who support reform. Like, you wouldn't necessarily think somebody would be able to find enough overlap to make that leap from one to the other, but by Jove, some people are managing to do precisely that, guys. I mean, we say a lot that we're living in a time of great political division, tribalism, divisiveness, but God bless Lee Anderson. He's managed to find sufficient overlap and common ground between the Corbyn left and the Reform right. God, he's a genius, isn't he? What a clever guy. That Lee Anderson on his third party in 4 years, guys. Third party in 4 years, which, you know, I mean, the last time I did three parties in a short space of time, I ended up with a serotonin deficiency. So, you know, good on you there, lad. Wishing you the best. So you can't trust your eyes, you can't trust your ears. Everything's messed up. Everything's weird, untrustworthy, or outright bizarre. And I am the host of it all. I'm here dancing around the awfulness like I am the Willy Wonka of dystopia, ladies and gents. And I'm sorry to tell you, it's only going to get worse, dear listeners. It's only going to get worse from here. Things are going to get so bad so soon. So stick around. Stick around for this episode of the podcast, such as our little church of awfulness that we've created here, our little congregation of awful. Like, it really is becoming more and more like that every week, every episode, isn't it? Like, you know how in a church, they do these sermons and they say, oh, you know, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to return any day now, guys. Any day Jesus will be back. So you better keep coming to church every Sunday. Put some money in the collection thing. You got to keep coming back because Christ is coming back soon. So he is. Don't deny him, they say. Well, this is like, you know, this is like things are going to get even worse than this, and soon. So you better stay tuned. Because you will not want to miss out on how much worse everything is becoming, even now, as I'm speaking. stay tuned to me so you could at least have the ego stroking to say, like, well, yeah, you know, I've been listening to this podcast for ages, where basically the USP is to say that, yeah, things are getting bad. We are sliding into dictatorships. Climate change and fossil fuel scarcity are going to make existence impossible. Like, at least I was right, though. At least I knew this was coming, you can say to your witlessly optimistic friends who always told you, no, don't worry, it's not going to be like this forever. No, things will get better. Of course they will. The economy's turning a corner, I read. At least you can say to your friends, you knew things were pretty bad and there was no hope, as you're all being strung up and hog roasted by travelling cannibals. Stick with me and welcome to another edition of Aid Thompson and Other Disappointments. Walk with me as we once again try to reason with the wreckage that is the formerly Great Britain. So, what is going on out there? Dearest of listeners, who's got themselves into trouble this week? Who can we rant and roast and ridicule? Who can we laugh at on this solo episode? There is much happening, isn't there? There's a lot going on out there. It is insane this week. We're only on Wednesday as I'm recording this. It's already been a tough week, news-wise. I mean, the biggest stories so far at time of recording have obviously been the Kate photo. And then Lee Anderson defecting to Reform earlier in the week. Then the Frank Hester thing. That's the Tory donor who is reported to have said, Diane Abbott makes you want to hate all black people, and he thinks she should probably be shot. That's what the biggest donor to the Conservative Party is reported to have said. That Diane Abbott makes you want to hate all black people and that she should probably be shot. Which I have to say I found shocking. I did, guys. I don't know how you interpreted it, how, like, what your reaction to it was, if your eyebrows, like, shot up or if you just, like, spat your coffee or your beer out or whatever. But I personally, I found it pretty shocking, guys. Because, you know, you think you know people. That's the thing, isn't it? You think you know people. You think you know these out-of-touch, privately educated, classist, opportunistic, cruel and sociopathic Tories. You think you know them. Like, they seem so nice, don't they? They seemed so nice. And then they just turn around and say something murderously racist like that. And you just think, you know, wow. Wow. I did not see this coming, guys. I mean, I like to think I'm a pretty good judge of character, right? And I truly thought that the multiple sex offenders, the Islamophobes, the racists, and their cheerleading coterie of corrupt cunts out there in the Conservative Party, I truly thought that they were all individual bad apples. But yeah, I'm absolutely blown away, shocked I am, that yet another Conservative guy has been exposed as being an horrendous racist. I don't think I'll ever get over it. I did enjoy the post-match analysis of it all, though. I found that quite, you know, that was some comedy relief for it, I think. I mean, that's always fun, I think. It's like, you know when you know the reason for something, like the real reason for why something is happening or not happening or why they're like, but everyone's just dancing around it. Like, nobody's actually talking about the real reason for why something happened or is happening. Everyone's just like there were so many pundits, talking heads, rent-a-gobs, coin-op cunts responding to this story. The Tory donor, £10 million, says this stuff about Diane Abbott. She should be shot. There's so many of these right-wing and alt-right people responding to it. And they were operating anywhere between, like, it's free speech. You know, he should be able to say whatever he likes. And then he has a right to privacy. That was the other thing. It's like, well, he said this in a private conversation. It's his business. You know? There was that. And then another load of people who were just obviously unable to call it racism. Even though now Kemi Badenoch has called it that and Number 10 have sort of followed her lead on it. But at the time, immediately afterwards, nobody was calling it racism. You had these ministers going out on the rounds going like, I don't want to sit in judgment of someone else. He's apologised. He's, you know, just trying to move it along. And it's like the privacy thing and the free speechy privacy is just ridiculous. It's so laughable. You know, it's like, oh, the thing we're supposed to be appalled at is the fact that it was leaked. Really? Is that what we're supposed to be appalled at with this? You know, it's like, oh, I'm fine with a bit of incitement of racial violence. I mean, it's totally relaxed about that. But I tell you what, lads, I get off the bus at telling a thing that a racist violence inciter said to me privately. I would never leak that. That is beyond the pale. You know, that's the cause of upset and concern for you, is it? OK. His right to privacy overrides your right to feel safe. Is what we're saying. He can say whatever he likes, guys, without fear of being blabbed about. Even if what he's saying makes you fear you might be murdered. And they say there's no such thing as privilege. Christ. And then after that, right, then you had, you know, all of the usual, look, it was wrong. Okay, it was wrong. And yes, it was unacceptable. You had all that lot. It was wrong, guys. But they can't say why something's wrong or unacceptable. Can they? But I can. I could say. See, this is what I mean. Like when you say, you know, when you know the actual reason that everyone's like dancing around it, right? The reason why it's wrong and unacceptable is really simple. Guys, it is first round of the quiz show. Simplicity. This one. The reason why it's wrong and it's unacceptable is because it's horrendously, violently racist. It is by definition racist. It's like you're using one black person as an example from which to then condemn an entire race of people based on your feelings for that one black person who fell short of your overprivileged white guy expectations. That is by definition racism right there. And then the fact that you're saying like about shooting some, that is violent racism. That is inciting it. So that is why it's wrong and unacceptable. I can say that. So we know the obvious reason why it's wrong and why it's unacceptable. And then when they start pulling out the questions, they're like, why can't you call it racist? Why can't you? That is simple too. Do you want me to answer that one? Why they can't say that it's racist? Like the reason that it takes them so long to condemn somebody as racist or to label somebody's rhetoric as racism is because they really don't want to have to give him his money back. That's it. They need that £10 million for leaflets and Facebook targeted advertising when they're this close to an election. They really don't want to have to refund him his money. That's what this comes down to. And the second thing is they can't call anybody racist, really. Whether it's this guy or Lee Anderson being Islamophobic, they can't label any of them as racist or, you know, in any sort of disparaging way because they honestly, they really don't want to lose any more racists. Either MPs or voters fleeing to Reform who are welcoming them. Like, it really is that simple. It's like, oh, why can't you just say that this was racist? I'm there like, beep, 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 like buzzing my game show buzzer. Is it because they're cowardly and morally bankrupt and they're callous and they're desperate? Ding, ding, ding. Well done, Aid. Congratulations. You're through to the next round. Oh, am I? Oh, okay, cool. Do I win a prize? No. Because that was so transparently obvious. That's why we use it as the first question in the first round. Eight. There's no prizes for the... Oh, okay, all right. But maybe you'll get lucky with a prize in the second round, which is trigonometry. Oh, wonderful. Okay. Anyway, so that was fun. You know, and like, you know, for a while now, we've seen these ad hoc cases of racism, haven't we? Bleed into the political arena. Ad hoc cases of sort of clumsy Islamophobia. You know, we view them with a cautious eye. Absolutely, we do. But we've never really, it doesn't feel like we've had many smoking guns with racism. I don't think. You know, like the sort of examples of political racism that I recall from the last, you know, few years is like, you know, somebody would say coloured instead of black for a person of colour or, you know. And you hear that or you hear reports about it and you think like, well, okay, look, it's a bit outdated, you know, but it's, you know, sometimes my dad, slip of the tongue, he'll say coloured instead of a person of colour or something. So you're like, well, okay, all right. It's a little bit of a red flag, but all right. Or maybe another example would be like, you know, you'd get a Jeremy Clarkson or a Princess Michael of Kent, right? Like, they would say something horrible, but they would leave themselves just enough rope that the right-wing rags would be able to defend them. And they would say stuff like, it's an outdated expression, all right? It's not fair to judge these older generations with the younger generations' terminology and vernacular, you know? And everyone's like, well... All right. But now where are we? In March of 2024. We've had one after the other. We've had Lee Anderson saying Sadiq Khan has given away London to his Islamist mates and Islamists have got control of London. Then we've got this Hester guy saying Diane Abbott makes him want to hate all black people and that she should probably be shot. One after the other. Bam, bam, smoking guns of racism. Like, how is that not totally unacceptable? Bearing in mind, this is a class of people who anger wank themselves into a state of limpotence if Angela Rayner so much as whispers the word scum. But this, for this, you want to just move on. Like, oh, you know, he's apologizing. I think we all need to move on now. I'm like, really? Really? But yeah. I mean, the obvious reason for their stance and their sluggish responses to this, both throughout the Conservative Party and their ministers doing the rounds and their cheerleaders throughout the right-wing press, the obvious reason is that if they do call it out, they think they might lose, you know, a few more MPs to Reform who, you know, these individuals, they actually quite like speaking like that. They don't just not have a problem with it. They quite like it. Or they worry that they're going to lose a few more votes. Because in their mind, all of these people up in the red wall are all hugely ignorant racists also. They're like, who are we trying to attract? Working class people up north. Oh, they love a bit of racism. Yeah, absolutely. Can we get somebody like Lee Anderson up? We'll make him deputy chair. Because that's what Northern people like. They go out to mine and they come into pub. They say a few racisms and go home and hit the Y for, you know, whatever. It's like such a weird classist caricature of what they think Northern working class people are like, isn't it? Like, if I was a Northern working class guy, I think I'd be insulted, you know, because not only are you being racist to, like, black people or people of colour, but you're also being, like, the same to Northern people. You're ascribing your own racism to Northern people because in your mind, that's what a Northern working class person... It's, like, levels deep prejudice. It's almost impressive. But, yeah. I mean, I do think it's sort of... It's quite darkly... But like, if you're a fan of dark comedy or really even just sort of standing on the sidelines and, you know, enjoying the schadenfreude of watching the Tories in a death spiral, there is comedic mileage to be found in the way that, like, the Tories are obviously so scared of hemorrhaging votes and possibly MPs to reform, to Richard Tice and Nigel Farage, that they can't help but de facto become reform. You know, they're so scared to draw a line in the sand and differentiate themselves from this new party that actually they end up becoming the party that previously they had said that they weren't. You know, am I making sense? But it doesn't seem to occur to them that the reason that they're 25 points down more broadly versus Labour in the first place is because of this overarching blue kip personality that they've taken on board. You know, it's like, oh, we better not do this or we might lose one or two votes more to reform. Well, what if you actually looked at how many votes you've lost to Labour? Pan out a bit, guys. Like, if the Tories immediately rebranded, right? I don't think there's any risk of this happening. But if they did, if they ejected all of the lunatics, like, today or tomorrow, if they replaced all the Marc Francois and Desmond Swains and Bill Cashes, Suella Braverman, Liz Truss, if they just replaced all of those lunatics, right, with smart, intelligent conservatives who lived in the real world, right? And then, if they re-emerged on the morning news rounds, looking like professional, articulate, you know, well-rounded politicians. Like, if they treated politics in 2024 like it was some sort of, you know, post-coital return of the senses. You know, you've regained, you got that moment of clarity after fucking the country. If they, like, appeared on the morning news rounds and they're like, whoa, yeah, okay, look, guys, look, we're really sorry about all the F off back to France stuff, you know, and all the flag shagging and the obsession with statues and the culture war stuff. We're sorry about Brexit. We're sorry about all of that. We got a bit carried away there. But listen, we're back in reality now. And yes, we're probably going to look to rejoin the EU. And we're probably going to invest heavily in renewables because that's where the energy markets are headed. Like, if they started to inhabit reality again and they got rid of all of the lunatics, honestly, Labour would be fucked. That is what it would take to shift the dial. But it would shift the dial and probably very quickly. But yeah, anyway, we should probably talk about, you know, Lee Anderson a little bit. And maybe we should talk a bit about the Kate photo, shall we? Should we get that off of our chest, get it out in the open? Because the Lee Anderson defection, I mean, a lot of people are describing it as having rocked Westminster. I don't know if it's that significant, to be honest. He was only given the deputy chair role in the Tories to appease their stereotype archetypal red wall voter. He wasn't given it because he was a heavyweight politician in his own right. It's sort of similar to when they say, oh, well, you know, Suella is plotting against Rishi Sunak and she's a heavyweight and this could be a problem. She's only a heavyweight because he gave her the Home Secretary role, not because she was an incredible cabinet minister with an unblemished record before. She's always been bad. The only reason that she's a high profile politician is because sequentially prime ministers have bent over backwards and appeased her. That is it. These people aren't heavyweights. But anyway, yes, so the Lee Anderson defection was a big story and the Kate photo was a big story and it's all just got very, very weird. And I mean, I think a lot of people predicted the move for Lee Anderson going to reform, didn't they? Like from a while back. Like, I remember my friend Josh, who runs the Movement Forward campaigning group. I remember Josh tweeted, as Anderson lost the whip for the Islamophobic comments, right? As that was happening, I remember Josh tweeting, and countdown to Lee Anderson joining Reform in 3, 2, 1. It was Josh just dripping with prescience there. Like 3 weeks ahead of schedule or whatever it's been. And then we've got the Kate photo thing, and the Kate not being seen for weeks. Those are the two big stories for the earlier part of this week. And do you know what? Just those two stories, man. Just those two big stories, right? I was a bit like, I mean, obviously something is weird, right, with William and Kate. Okay? Like, we know that. I think reasonable people, reasonably intelligent people will be able to glean that something is up with William and Kate right now, right? The lack of photos over recent weeks, Prince William jetting back for personal reasons, you know, unannounced or whatever that was all about. That was weird. Then the picture that they did release the other day, they claim it's legit, but they won't release the originals of it. Also in the picture, she's not wearing a ring. They've yet to explain that. There's not been a credible statement. The Photoshop decoding of it is weird also. You know, this idea that she likes to playfully edit or experiment with photo editing, but it's all been done in professional stuff with professional lens, professional camera equipment. I was just experimenting. Like, I've talked about this a lot on Twitter and on TikTok the last couple of days, so I'm not going to endlessly go on about it. But something is up. But she can't talk about it. She can't do a piece to camera to talk about it and explain or send her best wishes to someone with today's newspaper stories there so we know that it's that she's alive. She can't talk about it because the poor thing suffers from mutism. Guys, she can't say a word. Can't say a word, even if she wanted to. She can't utter a word, guys. I mean, I think actually what's happened here is, right, I think they got so messed up with Diana blabbing about what life was like in Kensington Palace and how messed up the royal family are. I think they got so spooked with Diana that when Will introduced Kate to them, they were like, you better not say anything. And Will was just like, oh, no, don't worry. Don't. She never says a word. She's literally silent. I found the one hot mute girl in the world. We're not going to have any problems with this one, guys. Don't worry. Probably met her when his team enrolled him as a royal patron for the Hot Mute Society. Something like, got him down there to cut a ribbon, got her to hold it. Oh, these two are going to hit it off. I think that's... Anyway, look, so whatever it is that's happened, right, between them, or whatever it is that's happening, it is obviously something so embarrassing and so terrible that Buckingham Palace and Kensington Palace really do not want it getting out, that they're willing to put out their own deep fakes to fill in for all the hard, grueling work that she normally does, sitting and posing. Like, who knew that the first victim of automation would be a royal? Guys, I did not see that coming. I just did. I thought Uber drivers, you know, and checkout staff or something would be the first to lose their jobs to a robot. But no, it turns out Buckingham Palace are trying to replace sweet, sweet, wordless mannequin Kate with deep fakes ahead of time. I mean, I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe that AI could ever replace the royals. But with all that hard, grueling work, we're endlessly told that they do. Seems impossible, I think. But against the odds, technology has found a way. But yeah, anyway, I thought with these two stories, you know, Kate pictured with her mum in the car and there being no other photos and, you know, nothing for weeks. And then, you know, Lee Anderson kicked out of the Tory party for Islamophobia, and that's after he had to leave Labour for the anti-traveller community stuff, but he keeps coming back, doesn't he? I mean, forget the Islamophobia, forget the racism and not having to refund this guy's money. He's still a donor. He'll still be welcomed into the Carlton Club. Lee Anderson has still got a political career. It really feels like in the UK, the only way to actually silence somebody is to make them marry a royal. Isn't it? I mean, it's like, oh, a bit of racism? Fine, fine. You should become deputy chair. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Islamophobia? Sure. Sure, yeah, here's your press conference. No problem. Then poor Kate walks in like, yeah, I'd like to be a princess for a bit. Never heard from again. Silenced. Like, imagine how crushing that must be for her. The irony, guys, that you think you found your prince, don't you? You wanted that modern fairy tale. The royal wedding, the palace. But what you ended up with is an almost perfectly modern retelling of the damsel in distress, isn't it? The princess stuck in the tower. Like, you're on some evil genie shit or something. Like, I want a fairy tale. And the genie's like, all right. See how you get on with this one. I mean, maybe she could do the, like, Neanderthal thing, right? That's an option that's open to her, I think. You know, do you think if she was Islamophobic, they would kick her out of the family? Do you think that's an option? If Kate said something Islamophobic, would they boot her out of the royal family? Or would they promote her? Okay, so, guys, we talked a little bit about, you know, UK politics, Sunak, Neanderthal. We've talked a bit about the royals. Now I would like to take you over to the United States, dear listeners, for one of our sort of habitual, you know, periodical doses of Americana. This is a story that I saw the other day, and I was a little bit like, what? How does this actually happen? Like outside of a screenplay, you know, or a comedy movie or something, is what this reads like when I saw the story. Like, to me, it feels like a Will Ferrell movie or like a Farrelly Brothers plot or something. Anyway, look, here it is. It's on Sky News. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see like the headline here. I've spun it up for you. It says, Ohio, women who drove dead man to his bank and withdrew money charged with abusing a corpse. Okay? Just take it in for a minute. Just consider what that means. All right? Two women took a guy, a dead guy, a literal corpse, right? Presumably fairly freshly dead, I'd have thought, because, you know, you rock up to the bank with a, you know, zombie decaying look. I mean, they're going to know something's up, right? So fairly freshly dead guy. They bothered to lift him into the car and drove him to a bank to withdraw some of his money like it was Weekend at Bernie's or some shit. Ohio, women who drove dead man to his bank and withdrew money charged with abusing a corpse. Anyway, it says, shall I do the accent? Let's just do it. Two women have been charged in the US with alleged abuse of a corpse after propping up his body to withdraw money from his bank account, police said. Laureen Ferrallo, 55, and Karen Kasbaum, 63. Kasbaum, that's a good name, I think. Karen Kasbaum. I hope every time she walks into the trash bar, the dive bar, every Friday, rocks up at 5:05. I hope every time she walks in there, her friends are like, rock the Kasbaum, rock the... Okay, all right. Laureen Ferrallo, 55, and Karen Kasbaum, 63, lived with 80-year-old Douglas Lehman in a house in the town of Ashtabula, on the shore of Lake Erie in northern Ohio, NBC, Sky's U.S. partner, has said. The women were said to have found their housemate dead on Monday and, instead of reporting his death, carried his body to the front seat of his car, where they propped it up and drove to his bank, where they took out an undisclosed amount, which the New York Post has put at $900? I mean, like, I was imagining that they were going to be like party girls. For some reason, you know, like they would be like 19, 20 years old and they're, you know, renting a room or an annex off this millionaire, this older millionaire. And then he snuffs it and they're like, do you know what? Like, fuck it. Let's just take him to the bank. Let's withdraw, you know, and they get like $100,000 out and go and have a mad summer in Vegas or something. Like, I don't know what it says about my psychology that is the scenario I immediately leapt to. It's that these are like drugged out strippers who are like, oh, this is our shot. We can finally pay off Tyrone and we'll be free. Like, I mean, this is the sort of scenario that would entice me, you know, I suppose, is what I'm getting at. Like, that's plausible in my mind. You know, like, I would never engage in such dark, macabre activity, guys, unless, you know, I mean, if you throw in a mad summer in Vegas into the mix, you know, let's have that conversation, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'd definitely do it. If I was lodging with an older millionaire and he died, I'm not saying I'd definitely drive him to the bank and withdraw a load of money. I'm saying, if you want me to do that, I'd feel better about it with $100,000 in my wallet and being gacked up to my eyeballs in Lil Jon's club for a few months. I mean, it'd be a hell of a come down, though, wouldn't it? That. I mean, most people go to Vegas, you know, or if it's over here, most people go to Vegas, Blackpool, maybe, or Brighton, or Glastonbury, you know, and they take some money with them and they get caked out of their mind. And, you know, the worst that they'll do is they'll spend like, you know, £1,000 on terrible merch and drugs and bad decisions, right? But for most people, the worst that happens is, you know, what they blow a load of money on Chang and they end up in what, like a viral TikTok as the gurning guy in McDonald's who's still dancing, but there's no music happening, or, you know, like that's a bad, shamey come down, right? But imagine the sobering, self-eating shame you would feel if you came to in a Vegas hotel suite having blown $100,000 that you stole from a corpse that you couldn't even report it after you stole it, because you would incriminate yourself then. So there's just this dead body in your attic back in Ohio. Like, that is, oh, that's a bad come down for you. Anyway, so let's get back to the story. So it says they're not idiot kids. You know, they're not party girls. They didn't hit Vegas. It wasn't $100,000. They were grown-ups, right? In their 50s and 60s in Ohio. And they lived with the guy. And, you know, it's not clear, really, why they've taken this money, you know? Like, why would you take $900 from a dead guy? Like, did he owe you $900? Is that what it is? You know, you couldn't wait for probate. You know, probate takes a while, right? Is that what this is? Like, they lived with him, right? They lived with this guy. So they must have been reasonably close with him, you would think, right? But they're like, I can't be waiting 6 months to see if he's left me that $1,000 that we talked about that he promised me. Let's just take it to the ATM, Karen. Like, we're not stealing. You know, he already said he's leaving us $1,000 when he's done. He's dead now. So we should just take it. We're just taking what he already said he would give us, right? Or do we think, you know, maybe this is just how bad house shares get now in the housing crisis? Because it's not just here. It's not just the UK that has a housing crisis. It's all over the world. People forget that. It's in the US. It's in Australia. It's in France. Nowhere can build enough houses. You know, and as there's fewer and fewer reasonable places to live, then people get more and more desperate and they have to live with more and more people. So you end up with like four people living in a two-bed flat. And people, as they get desperate and more cramped in, they become more unreasonable. And so they hate living with each other. Is this just what happens now? Is what I'm saying. Is this how bad house shares have got in 2024? You know? Because I remember sharing a flat, right, with two other people in East India Quay, right? In East London, in Docklands, okay? And it was the worst, all right? It was not fun. And that was like 12 years ago, okay? There was this, should I tell you the story? We still got time, haven't we? There was this French guy, okay? French guy that was living in one of the rooms. And he would leave his washing in the washing machine from Friday night, like just before he went out or before he went to go and stay at his girlfriend's for the weekend. He'd leave it in the washing, but it would like do the spin, but then he would just leave it in there the entire weekend. So nobody else could do any laundry. Just blocked up. And I remember like getting fed up, like pulling his washing out of this washing machine, slumping it into a thing and just leaving it there, right? So then I could get on with my own laundry and like hang it up and actually have like clean clothes that didn't smell like damp, right? And then he like pulled me up on it. He like pulled me into the side in the little kitchenette thing. He's like, do not just leave my washing in a pile where it gets so smelly, right? Like, and I'm like, dude, you leave your washing in a smelly pile all weekend in the machine. Like, the location is not relevant. You left it in there. It doesn't make any difference if I slump it out to this location or you leave it in there all weekend. Either way, it's a slumped, like, thing of damp clothes. Your problem is you. He's like, dude, do not just slump my clothes into the city. It's like, am I supposed to hang it up for you? Am I? Fuck out of it. You playing at, you clown. And then there was this woman who took his room after him. He went and moved in with his girlfriend. There's this woman. And she was a wreckhead, like a massive wreckhead. And this was supposed to be like professional accommodation. Okay? Like, I liked to go out on the weekend back then. I was a young guy. But professional accommodation, like, we all worked in the city. Okay? So there's an expectation there that people aren't going to be, you know, throwing great big booming house parties in the middle of the week. But I mean, this bitch was hammered. She she was so wrecky. I mean, she was bouncing off the walls. She was inviting friends round. She was getting coked up. That's fine. Obviously, no judgment from me. Have a good time. You know, we all like having a good time. All of us. But it's like, you know, I'm not going to judge somebody for going out, you know, on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday or even a Sunday afternoon session with the mates down the pub. Maybe it gets a bit rowdy one time. You go out in Brick Lane, stay out till 1 or 2 in the morning on a Sunday night. You know, fine. I'm not going to judge anyone. Have a good time. But I remember, like, I was coming back from my brother's wedding, right? And I'd just come back off this, like, really stressful flight. And it was a school night and I had work in the morning. Really stressful journey home. And she had like friends around and the music is just blasting through the cardboard walls of this new build. And there were guys just going in and out of the bathroom, coming out sniffing. And it's like, oh God, you know. And she's like, hey, how was your brother's wedding? And I was like, oh, it's okay, but look, I'm really tired. I just need to get some sleep. It was a really stressful flight back home. And I really need to wind it down now. And she's like, say no more, right? And I remember that she said that. Say no more, you know. Which I took as, okay, well, she's been quite reasonable, you know. But that was because, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, like, she's heard me and she's accepted it. She's accepted that I am stressed. I'm really tired. It was a really rough flight and I've got work in the morning. And actually, I really just need to get some sleep, right? That's what I think the exchange has just, you know, she's been able to walk away with. You know, like in my mind, she's accepted it. She's like, yeah, don't worry. We'll head out in a minute. I'll get my friends. We'll wrap this up. We'll just go to the pub or something. We'll find a late bar. It's okay. Don't worry. I understand it. Like, that's honestly what I had walked away. I thought that's what she was thinking. Say no more. You know, little did I know, dear listeners, this bitch is like, say no more. She's literally telling me to stop saying things to her. She's like, don't say anything else. You know, you're killing the buzz in here, right? Just close that party ruining hole in the front of your head. Right there, that thing, close it, say no more. And so this party just goes on, and the music is super loud and super bassy. And every time I'm about to nod off, one of them, like next door, just cackles or like slams the door or drops and smashes a glass. You're like, oh God, I was just dropping off there. You know, apprehensive chest just kicks in. You know, and in the end, I had to enter her room at like, I don't know, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. or something, when they'd all, you know, calmed down and nodded off. I had to walk in there and just turn off the shitty house music. And like, I'm walking in there on tiptoes. I'm like, just tiptoe over here, you know, turn it. Like, the whole thing is ridiculous, isn't it? Like, I'm on tiptoes for what? Like, in case I disturb them from their slumber. Like, I'm concerned that my full-footed sounds walking in there might disrupt their sleep a little bit after they've been Gitmo sleep-depriving me all night for hours. And so, yeah, anyway, the next day, I called in sick to work. I spoke to my boss. He was actually pretty cool about it. He was okay. You know, I said, look, I'm sorry, man. Like, I had a really rough flight home. It was very stressful. And then I had an even rougher night afterwards. And I can't come in today. And they were fine. My boss was fine. And so then here's the petty bit, right? And you could tell me if this is, you know, maybe this shows a little bit too much of my pettiness, but I'm actually quite proud of it, right? So what I should have done, I think, is I should have just gone to bed, right? So the music's off now. Everybody's sort of coming down. I should have just tried to get some sleep for a few hours, having called in sick from work. But what I actually did was I put my volume up on my big-ass bass speakers. Bear in mind, I was into music production. I was a proper muso back then, you know, 12 or 14 years ago, whatever this was. So I turned the music up, like the loud bassy speakers up to full, and I put Tupac Shakur on, just blaring out. And I programmed it. I set up a playlist where it's just the same track, constantly, loud, for hours. Just this angry sounding gangster rapper tearing through the cardboard walls, guys. Through the plaster and deep into the eye grain hangovers and come downs that were taking place in the room next door. Like, it was so petty. It was so, but I'm still kind of proud of myself for it, you know? Anyway, so I set that up. And then I pressed play and I just went out into Hackney. Guys, I went and got myself a full English breakfast, a couple of coffees. You know, I went for a wander. I caught up with a friend. And I came back at 5 o'clock that day and put my keys in the door. And this very hangy, come-downy mess just storms up to the door. As soon as she hears my keys go in, and she's like, your music has been blaring out the same song all day, again and again, the same, like it's only just stopped, Dade. And I'm proud of the whole story, but I'm extra proud of this bit. It's like I just looked her dead in the face, guys. I just went, I know. I just went in my room and climbed into bed. And I slept. Like, I'm not saying it's the most grown-up way to react, you know, and obviously I wouldn't behave that way now. You know, I was a young guy back then. I hadn't slept, you know. I was delirious and, you know, edgy. And I was angry, you know. It was all of her behaviour and her friends and the banging of the doors and the smash glass, like, all of the loud music. It was so grossly inconsiderate. After I had said, I'm really tired. It was a very stressful flight and I really just need to get some sleep. So look, anyway, I'm not really sure how I've got onto that. But I guess all I'm saying is that sometimes house sharing is hard. Okay? And frankly, right, if the French guy or this woman had snuffed it while I was living with them, I don't know. You know, in my lesser moments, maybe I might have evened the score a little bit. You know, like, I'm not saying this dead dude in Ohio has done anything, you know, but if he had, all I'm saying is, you know, if he was a terrible housemate, right, I think maybe these two women should be first in line for any cash that he's got on him in his current account. You know, like, take his watch, Karen. You've earned it. He owes this to you. Like, not even his family would object to it as well, right? They'd be like, you poor things, Karen and Loretta or whatever her name was. You poor little pickles. You know, having to live with Ron this whole time. I mean, we know how insufferable he was. We, like, why do you think he lived with you guys in a house share and not with any of us? You've earned it. Here you go. Have $900. Like, honestly, I think I've had enough bad experiences that I think every tenancy or every house share, flat share, should be regulated, right? And I think everyone that rents a thing in a house share, they should have to put $900. Like, you should have your security deposit and, like, damage deposit and all that stuff, but there should be a separate one for about $900 in a side account, right? And then if you're a bad housemate, right, but you die while you're in the tenancy, then I think the money then gets released and your long-suffering flatmates get it as a sort of golden parachute, you know, to sweeten that mourning period. Like, you know, I'm sorry that you've had to go through all this. Must be quite traumatic having a dead guy next to you. But also, I heard he was a bit of a shit, and here's $900 to make, you know, the worry go away. Yeah, I mean, you're sad, but have $900. You're less sad, okay? All I'm saying is that with $900, you could commemorate the guy's death in the way that you feel befits him. You know? Cut to your housemates popping champagne bottles, you know? We were celebrating his life, sort of. I mean, without that regulation, you just end up with the problem going underground into the realms of criminal activity where these two poor women are forced to right that wrong by driving around a corpse like your Williams driver propping up Kate with a seatbelt. Oh, Lord, no. You can't end on that. I just did, I'm afraid. Right, that's it for this one. People, and for the benefit of any royalist right-wing flag shaggers out there desperate to criticize me for that last bit, just think of it this way, okay? It's not callous, and I shouldn't be cancelled. I don't have to stop or step back from anything. It is just that my comments were unacceptable and wrong. But that is it. There is no further action required and we should all just move on. Guys, anyway, that is it for this one. I'll be back Friday night for the live show. It's the first live show in a few weeks, I think. It's 7:30, live on YouTube, most Fridays, if not all. There's always a new show up that I put up on Fridays at 7:30. So there's always something happening on my channel, 7:30 YouTube every Friday. Sometimes it's live, sometimes it's not. Basically, that depends on my childcare situation. Big shouts to the Patreons, a doff of the cap to all of you and the YouTube community members. That's it for now. I'm out, this motherfucker.